When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Just like it sounds, Martha Norwalk, NORWALK.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website and bring up the links that you need to stream the show. And did you know you can find us on Facebook these days? Look for Martha Norwalk's Animal World on Facebook. Give us a like while you're there, please. I'd appreciate that. Check out all the great stuff. I'll tell you a little bit about more some in a moment or two here. And just want to say that it's kind of a gray, drizzly day outside here in the great Pacific Northwest, but I had a rainbow coming in, so that's a good sign. As always, Animal World's production engineer is here. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, I had a rainbow coming in, which was nice. I had some rain and some sun.
We could have a little bit of everything today.
Yeah, it sounds, well.
In fact, we just, in the last 30 minutes, we've seen two weather systems blow by. I don't know if you noticed that, but it got clearer.
Well, I haven't been by the window watching, so I don't, but I'm not surprised. And it was a big storm came through last night, a lot of wind. And, you know, I thought with all those power outages I'd had in the winter, that I was getting it out of the way. But no, I had another one last night.
Oh, I did? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Fortunately, I had a lot of intuitive hits about it going into the evening, and at one point there was a little flash, and it was like, oh man, there's a lot of wind out there. I better get everything done I need to do for the show tomorrow that requires the computer and the internet and printing and
good
all.
Good planning, yeah.
And I had gotten everything all done, and you know, a bag in the car ready to go, and all of that, and then boom, power out.
What day was it last week that we had the big wind squall that moved in?
Yeah, I didn't have any problem last week, but then we did have a big wind.
I had furniture blow off my front deck.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't believe it, and because I heard this racket, and my granddaughter was taking a nap at the time, and I thought she was messing around in the room I have set up for.
Well, now, isn't she with you on Monday?
Yeah, well, Mondays and Tuesdays, but yeah. It seemed like it was...
No, Monday was a good day. Tuesday
was
the day.
It must have been Tuesday.
It was Tuesday.
Yeah.
It was Tuesday. Yeah,
I couldn't believe it. It's just like it just sort of rolled in and it blew furniture off the deck.
Wow.
It's like, wow, okay, that's never happened before.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
So some unusual weather we're having. And, of course, my grass is growing, but it's too wet to mow.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I've started, you know, spring cleanup. And I have to say that even though it was a fairly mild winter, I had more downed limbs and stuff than any other year that I've been on this property. And I've talked to some other people out in the Mineral Salton
sure.
area, and they say the same thing. They've had more down. So that's kind of interesting.
Wettest winter on record. And that follows the warmest summer on record.
Summer on record.
In fact, I was looking at some planning modules from the National Weather Service, and they're saying that things are going to dry out, which is unusual for an El Nino this early, but they're actually saying higher than average temperatures for March, April, and May in average levels of precipitation, and then look at even farther forward, which you know you really got to take with a grain of salt because who knows, but they're calling for another warm and not as dry as last summer, which is, again, kind of bizarre for a super El Nino year, but we'll see. I mean, they called this one right. So who knows?
Well, and of course, there's no climate change is not happening.
Yeah.
There's none of that. But I have to say, it really has been unusually warm. In fact, I was thinking how warm it was last night outside. And I decided yesterday, because I've been doing my spring cleanup and getting things ready and cutting back the sword ferns and all of that. And I decided yesterday that, my fuchsias are starting to grow in my little mini greenhouse setup in my garage, and I think it's time to get them out. So everybody got brought out yesterday and pruned and composted and out. So that's kind of neat. And I don't think we're going to have any more heavy frosts or anything, freezes.
They're not planning on it, but it's like I say, you never know. And how many days of freezing weather have we had this winter?
Not
very many.
Well, we had, and I think it was early on in the winter, and it might even have been before it was actually winter, winter solstice, because I had to get, my cooker that I put that heats up the water in my fountain, because it was cold enough for about a week that my fountain froze.
Yeah, I remember that week.
Yeah, so I had the cooker in, but I only used it that one week, and I finally took it out of the fountain yesterday, thinking, well, I'm not going to need this anymore, so scrub it up, clean it up for next year. But so there was only that one week early on that it was really a seriously hard freeze. And I had some things, everything's come up earlier this year than in the past. And I even had one basket kind of... and a million bells is the common name of the flowers that I have hanging on my cat run, and I didn't take it down, and darned if it didn't survive the winter. Usually they completely die off, and it has survived. Whether or not it'll bloom again, I don't know, but we'll see. So that was kind of interesting. Oh, and I don't want to exclude our associate producer and head call screener, Kathy Southwick, is here. Good morning, Kath.
Good morning.
Did you have some winds out in your area?
Yes, we did. Not too bad, though. We kind of live on the opposite side of a hill, the direction of the wind comes, so it's usually not too bad. But, I was talking to my parents yesterday, and they were saying that the weather in Arizona has been a lot warmer than normal for this time of year. So we're not the only one feeling the temperature changes.
Yeah, and of course...
Well, but the good news for us is we're out of drought danger, at least so far for this year.
Good to know.
Well, and that's actually because, I was thinking when you were mentioning that it's supposed to dry out some, but you said not as dry as last year. I hope that's the case. I really need to pay attention because I have a wonderful, big fire pit and stuff in my yard, and because I live in the forest and so forth, there's a lot of stuff that can be burned. And... I can put only so much in the yard waste and out of there and compost and all of that sort of thing. But last year, by the time I got ready to, start having outdoor fires, and I liked when I fired, do some marshmallows or s'mores or something, that sort of thing. It was burn bans the whole summer. So I didn't get to burn at all. And then this year, a lot more came down than ever comes down during the winter. So a lot of limbs and stuff. So I'm going to have to really pay attention and get caught up on some burning when it's legal and dry enough to do that, so that I don't miss out like I did last year. But you said not as dry as last year. What the predictions are?
Through the summer months, it said average precipitation. Of course, last year was not average.
No, that's
but
true.
But we have the snowpack. What encourages me is that we have sufficient levels of snowpack. And, of course, that's all time release for irrigation, as well as keeping the underbrush from getting tinder dry like it has the last two years, which has been essentially the major culprit for a lot of the wildfire that we've had. It's all just too super dry conditions too early. Also, our reservoirs have filled back up, and our watersheds are in good shape. So...
Kind of a no matter what happens, we're okay water-wise for the summer? Is that kind of where we're at?
That's my understanding.
Hey. Yep. Well, that's a good thing.
And that's got to be great relief to the farmers in eastern Washington, because they got hit pretty hard with restricted water usage or
have you kept
availability.
Up on what's going on with our friends down in California?
Yeah, they're not out of the woods yet. Northern California, the High Sierras, has had good snowfall this year, and they've had some super storms blow through there, but they just don't have the capacity, naturally or man-made, to retain a lot of the water. So levels are still dry, and the pattern is still, for at least in Southern California, in the desert Southwest, is still drought conditions. So they have a long ways to go. They're in such serious, dire straits that even a super El Nino, where a lot of the weather has been really targeted towards Northern California and Southern Oregon, they just sort of, it's not enough. They just need more.
Well, yeah, I've heard about a lot of flooding and stuff that's, you know, goes on.
Well, it's both. It's not only is it flooding when it comes and goes, but also they're drilling for deeper into the water table for water for irrigation, and they're also not planting as much because they don't have access to the water. But what's happening as they drill, it's an incredible story, but the level of the land is actually sinking.
Wow.
Because they're just displacing so much of the water in the aquifers, and it's not being replaced at a rate that it needs to. So it's the long-term effects, who knows? I mean, half of all the fruit and produce that's, you know, consumed in the country is grown in the Central Valley of California, and that's where the drought conditions are the worst.
Yeah, that's an interesting subject, too.
Yep.
Ponder. It seems such a shame, though, that when they have, you know, all the rain that has come to that area, that there's no way to
capture,
or that it doesn't, like, somehow go down and fill up the aquifer that they've been drilling into. It doesn't kind of make sense to me, but you have all that
rain,
but it doesn't make a lot of
difference. Well, it takes millions of years to create and fill an aquifer. I mean,
I guess that's true.
You can't do too much in a couple of years, but nevertheless, it's a water is a really big deal, and so much of the water that is consumed in California is for agriculture, and which is cool. But half of the water for agriculture is used for essentially for meat. And you know, if they didn't have the meat situation in California, in other words, if they did that somewhere else or didn't do it at all, they wouldn't have a water problem. But I mean, it's like the statistics are just incredible. Like it's 1,800 gallons of water for a pound of beef.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, that's... But it's not just what animals consuming the product. It's what they grow. Everything is grown now for grain, so corn and soybean. So it displaces resources that could be used for human consumption to feed animals that, you know, we eat their flesh and secretion, or some of us do anyhow.
Well,
I don't.
thank you for bringing that up.
Well,
maybe someday we'll get...
This is animal
get
world.
Get the human. Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people are having a hard time catching on to not eating meat, so...
Yeah, meat, dairy, it's no good. Poultry,
absolutely.
I could go on and on for hours, but I won't.
Okay.
Okay, then. All right, well...
On that happy note.
I was going to say that... I thought about you this week, Mike, and maybe Kathy did too, because Kathy and I had a little adventure this week. And speaking of that, I kind of catch up on what's going on today on the show. It is the first Sunday of the month, and most often that is Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. And that is, in fact, what we're doing today. And we've got a great lineup of guests, and if I didn't pull a classic Martha Norwalk, as Carlene would say, we'll have a great feature interview in the second hour. And we are going to... a lot going on today. We're going to kind of talk our way through the first half hour of the show, and then at the bottom of the hour, we are going to welcome for the first time to Animal World the executive director of the Animal Rescue Foundation of Everett, commonly known as ARF. And this is the organization that's doing all the great stuff at the Everett Animal Shelter. And there's actually a free, I believe, behavior or some kind of educational thing going on a little later today up at the Everett Animal Shelter. So we're going to talk all about Everett ARF and find out about the event that's going on later today, in case any of you want to join that event. At 10 o'clock, we are scheduled to talk with the director of the Northwest Stream Foundation and Center up at McCollum Park in the Everett and Mill Creek area, and that's Tom Murdoch. And you hear me talk about the Northwest Stream Center all the time on current events because all the great programs they did. Well, Kathy and I went up this week and spent a couple hours with Tom at the Northwest Stream Center and got completely educated and a full tour. And oh my gosh, were we impressed! And we learned so much. And that's when I thought about you, Mike, because this place is phenomenal. And what they have a new age type shed that is, you know, has a green roof, and the water all goes into rain barrels, and the shed, it's so well insulated that you don't need any heat other than the lights that are in there. And then this incredible half-mile boardwalk in the wetland area and through the creeks that they've built. The way they're constructing these things now do no damage at all to the ground and the surrounding areas. And I mean, it's all, and the boards are all done, recycled plastic and these diamond concrete things they have that then put the legs down into the hard pan that don't disturb anything. So there's, things aren't built, don't need to be built the way they have, like, and boy, we just got a total, anyway, I was thinking about that. You would have loved to have been there and seen all this stuff and all the things that they're doing. It's really, really phenomenal. And I had no idea, in living in the great, yay, Tom. I guess I now, because the phone just rang a moment ago. And I guess I really don't have to fess up to pulling a classic Martha this week, but I'm going to do that anyway because, you know, I just always tell you the truth. Well, I realized last night, because we have Tom scheduled as our featured guest to talk about the Northwest Stream Center and all the incredible stuff that's going on out there, that when I was putting the last minute show stuff together, I realized, you know, I don't have a phone number other than the Northwest Stream Center number to call Tom at today. And I don't think he's going to be at the Stream Center on Sunday morning. And I guess what happened is we made the arrangements for us to come to the visit and book the show and so forth. But I didn't get the details of where we'd call him this morning when we did that. And I probably figured at the time, well, I'll get all of that when Kathy and I go visit. But when Kathy and I were visiting, we had such a great time, and we were so enthralled and learning so much. And then everybody had to go places, and we kind of hurried our way out of there. And then I realized last night, oh, geez, I never got Tom's number. So I had a whole backup plan. Of course, you know, I shot off an email. I said, I don't know if he checks his business email at home. I hope he does. And left a message at the Stream Center. Well, obviously something I did got through because Tom called and we now have his phone number. So thank you. Thank you, Spirit. I said a lot of prayers over that one because our backup plan was, well, if we can't roust up Tom anywhere, well, then Kathy and I'll just tell you our experience and everything we learned and did, but it won't be nearly as intelligent as it would if Tom was here. But now the pressure's off because we're good. So Tom Murdoch from the Northwest Stream Center and Stream Keeper Foundation in Everett Mill Creek area is going to join us in the 10 o'clock hour. And then I think we'll do current events just shortly after 11 a.m. this morning. And then we will welcome Marilyn from Meow Cat Rescue and talk about their spring event coming up and so forth. And then we got a really something new from Homeward Pet Adoption Center at 11:30. We're going to have find that. You know, I don't know where it went. Well, anyway, their behavior coordinator, who they have a new program at Homeward Pet working with the dogs to make them more adoptable, and it's apparently being very, very successful. So we're gonna talk to Beverly about that, and that's kind of a neat thing. I'm looking forward to that. So that's gonna take us through today's show, and I suppose we ought to officially start the show now, and then we can take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and then I'll tell you some really cool stuff before we bring on our first guest at 9:30. So we start the show officially by honoring the saint that's been guiding my work with the animals for so many years. That, of course, would be Saint Francis. And we start with a couple of Saint Francis prayers, a short one for our animal friends, a little longer one for us humans. And if y'all are ready, let's get started. This is the prayer to Saint Francis for our animal friends. Good Saint Francis, you loved all of God's creatures. To you, they were your brothers and sisters. Help us to follow your example of treating every living thing with kindness. Saint Francis, patron saint of animals, watch over our animal friends and keep our companions safe and healthy. All right, and then for us humans, the Saint Francis of Assisi peace prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Om, peace, amen. All righty, we're official. Now, I've added to our little morning ritual here, getting started on Animal World, the Ananda Worldwide Peace Initiative. They are asking anybody that wants to participate. They have kind of tweaked Paramahansa Yogananda's Peace and Harmony Prayer, and we're using it now for this Worldwide Peace Initiative. There is one affirmation that they ask that we do for about a minute, so that's about 10 to 12 times. And then the second affirmation you repeat three times. And but for the abbreviated radio version, we'll do each affirmation three times. And if you'd like to repeat them with me, the first one is, Lord, fill this world with peace and harmony, peace and harmony. Lord, fill this world with peace and harmony, peace and harmony. Lord, fill this world with peace and harmony, peace and harmony. Now the second one, Lord, fill me with peace and harmony, peace and harmony. Lord, fill me with peace and harmony, peace and harmony. Lord, fill me with peace and harmony, peace and harmony. All righty, so that gets us officially started. And if you want to participate with the Worldwide Ananda Peace Initiative, then you do those affirmations, the first one for the world 10 to 12 times, the second one for you three times. And they're saying, ideally, try to do it five times a day. Yeah, I'm not perfect on that, but I try to get it in at least once a day. And you can imagine hundreds and thousands of people around the world doing that affirmation every day, how powerful that would be. So that being taken care of, now let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the first time in this hour. It is the most important part of the show, so listen, pay attention, support them, thank them, and Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Urine contamination is a common and stubborn problem. Conventional cleaning methods are not the answer. Anti-Icky Poo works quickly and naturally, and it's my all-time absolute favorite odor neutralizer. This unique bacteria enzyme solution converts the waste directly into carbon dioxide, a safe and odorless gas found in everyday clean air. Ask your vet for Anti-Icky Poo or call 1-800-745-1671. Anti-Icky Poo, it's a serious product with a funny name that really works, especially on cat urine. 1-800-745-1671. Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping, or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
The search is over. You found the station that's not afraid to be different. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and we're just getting rolling on the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150, and it's Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. And we're going to get to our first guest here in just a few minutes. But I wanted to fill you in a little bit on what's good news about animals. And some of the stuff I've got up on Facebook is absolutely phenomenal this week. Of course, every week there's just great stuff. And the first thing, the big animals in the news thing is that it was announced this week out of Japan that the 2015-16 Taiji dolphin hunt is officially over. So that's a good thing. No more killing dolphins or capturing them for captivity this year. And wouldn't it be wonderful if the peace and harmony reaches the powers that be in Japan by next year and that it's the last hunt that we have? But so we can all look and pray for that. Then on Facebook, I got to tell you, there's just some amazing animal stuff that I put up this week. And I thought every week I should pick the top three things I posted on Facebook to tell you about on the air. And I didn't have a problem picking my absolute favorite and most amazing video of the week, but then trying to come up with a top three, I couldn't do it because there's so many good ones up there, and I realized I only post the really great stuff. I mean, I don't post a lot of other stuff. So the one I most want to call your attention to. Now, I posted this on March 2nd, so you'll have to scroll down a bit to find it. But it is one of the most amazing animal videos I've ever seen, and it's a couple of birds. And in this video, a bird, it's around maybe a shopping center or something, or inside a building, but a covered area or whatever. But a bird flew into a window, and you see the bird on the ground, and it looks like a little sparrow type bird like that. That looks absolutely like a dead bird, you know, a stiffened dead bird on the end. But the bird's mate is right there with it, and I captioned it. I said, "Is this birdie CPR? Because this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen." I think the video is a couple minutes or so long, but this the live bird, the mate of this bird that appears so dead, it's right with the bird, and it's pecking the bird and it's pushing it around. It starts jumping on it. And I swear you can see where it looks like the bird's trying to pick this other bird up, and then towards the end, it actually seems kind of violent with this other bird and pulling him up, and then all of a sudden, the little bird stands up, and then all of a sudden the other bird pushes him again, and they take off flying away. It was absolutely amazing. This bird came back to life, And if you see it, it'll blow your mind. It absolutely amazing. The other one that is so incredibly amazing is there is a rehab video of a little baby bat. Absolutely precious, but a bat sanctuary and how they clean up this little baby bat and how they feed it, nurse it, and then how they brush, they need to stimulate it and brush it. It's just amazing, and it's absolutely captivating to watch. I hope you'll take a look at those two things. And then there's a couple of really great ideas for restraining animals to do things. The first one is the title on the video is How to Deactivate a Cat. And when I saw it, I thought, oh, you got to be kidding. But it looks like a veterinary hospital on a metal table and a white cat. And you know the like big paper clip type things? They're black with the metal handles and the little that you pinch and put over a stack of papers. And they're pretty strong and pinch, and they come in different sizes. Well, they had a large one, and they had this cat walking around on the table and trying to get off the table and all of this, and then they just picked up the scruff at the back of the neck and put this clip on the cat's neck. And my first thought was, oh, gosh, they're pretty strong, and they clip pretty hard. It might be uncomfortable. But this cat just lays down and holds absolutely still. And the person can walk away, and the cat just stays there. I thought, well, isn't that amazing? And I think it's a throwback to an instinct where, you know, mom picks up the kittens by the scruff of the neck and to discipline or to move them or whatever. And so they freeze. But so what did I do? I went to my office. I got out a clip, and I started trying it on my cats. And I have to tell you, yes, they're very powerful, but it was quite easy to just gently slide it onto that skin on the scruff and then gently release it. My cats were not stressed. They weren't upset by it or anything, but they just froze. So I'm going to do some more testing with that, but it's pretty amazing. And I think we'll make it, what I intend to use it for is because I clip my cat's nails all the time, and I don't have any problem clipping the front paws, but holding them in the right position to get the rear paws, both of them, is difficult position-wise. So I'm going to try it with that. And then I just posted last night, I think, this incredible dog sling. These people have made a sling where the four legs of the dog go through, and then they like attach it to a pulley that pulls the dog up off the ground. And so they're like swinging in this dog sling, and then they trim the dog's nails. And I thought, oh my gosh, what an amazingly creative idea, because being off the ground totally throws dogs off. And then for these, there are so many dogs that absolutely flip their cookies when you try to trim their nails, and they've got to be sedated or all kinds of stuff, and how much easier this makes it. I know, of course, you would have to make one of these things, but it's pretty amazing. So go to Martha Norwalk's Animal World on Facebook and check out all of those postings and then all the other ones that are so incredible. I think you'll really be pleased that you did. There's a lot of great stuff. Okay, then. We are going to officially get underway with Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and Anything That Helps Our Animal Friends Sunday. And speaking of that, we are welcoming here for the first time, the executive director of the Animal Rescue Foundation of Everett, commonly known as ARF, and that is Amy Ferguson. Good morning, Amy. Welcome to Animal World.
Good morning, Martha. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I've talked about you a lot, kind of been watching, you know, the Everett ARF and kind of the great work y'all are doing up at the Everett Animal Shelter and so forth. And have some of your events on current events from time to time, but we've never actually talked about what's going on, and I'm so impressed with what's happening that I wanted to share with everybody what you guys are all about. So why don't you get us started and tell us what the Animal Rescue Foundation of Everett is and all about.
So what we do is we support the animals here at the Everett Animal Shelter. And we've been doing this for, we've existed as ARF for 11 years now. And really, it just started off with these volunteers that came together and said, you know, we can help medical care for the animals. And this was, you know, in the shelter's old days.
Well, because the Everett Avernal Shelter, isn't that like a county shelter or a...
It's technically a city shelter, but
But it's not like a private shelter. Like, you know, Homeward Pet Rescue, you know, that we're going to have on later in the show, and Meow Cat Rescue and those kind of things.
Yeah,
it's more like Seattle Animal Control.
Yes.
And that sort of thing, right? Okay.
It is. And what they do is they serve, you know, throughout all of Snohomish County. And so, you know, they take in, you know, well over 5,000 animals a year, sometimes,
wow.
You know, even like the 6,000 or 7,000 mark. And so it's a very large shelter for what it is. And because it's a city-owned shelter, you know, there's just certain things that they're not able to do, and that's where our step then.
Right, and I think that was the case. Well, most city and county-owned shelters, you know, had pretty bad reputations. You know, I remember when I was a kid and going, you know, to the shelters.
The pound.
the pound, as we would call it. You know, and they just weren't nice places to go, and you felt so bad for the animals. So it's wonderful that... I think with most of these, the city-owned and county-owned shelters now have volunteer programs that people help out and so forth. But you guys have taken it to a higher level, I think, with ARF.
We really tried to, and that's the thing. And, you know, you bring up such a good point about how shelters used to be.
Yeah.
And so in moving out here, so the shelter now is located in very, very north of, you know, almost to Marysville. And what's great is it's this huge spot right across from the Snohomish River, so it's a gorgeous area anyway.
Mm.
But what they did back in 2009 when they built this is they actually went, it's really interesting because they went kind of around and said, you know, what are other shelters doing to make them the best they can be for the animals? And so, you know, every animal here has their own little individual pods. It also, you know, helps, you know, reduce disease control and those kind of things. And so the new shelter is just amazing. It is gorgeous. It's and anybody that comes here is amazed. They're like, that's a city shelter? You've got to be kidding me.
Well, maybe that's another adventure, Kathy, we need to take could we sometimes time arrange a tour to come up, Amy?
Absolutely.
Cool.
Would love to do that.
All right.
They're fun. fun, and you get to see all the animals, and it's just a gorgeous drive out here, too. So,
well, yeah, and that's up in my, you know, I'm a Snohomish County person,
mm-hmm.
so I like to support local things. But I've heard how wonderful it is, but I haven't actually seen it. So it was actually this shelter, the new one was built in 2009?
It opened in 2009.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm sure it took them, I know it took them several years to build it. But it was built with the intention. The nice thing, too, up here is there's so much property. That, you know, as if they need to expand, they can, which luckily they don't. I mean, that's actually a good thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
but it was when it came to be, and this is the part kind of where ARF really stepped in, was they came to ARF and they said, you know, we're going to build a medical clinic. For the first time ever, we're going to do our own spays and neuters. We're going to do our own medical care.
That's really that's unusual for a city-owned clinic or shelter, isn't it?
It really is, and that's kind of, you know, where it worked out really well with ARF is we'd already had a relationship with them, and we were paying for these medical services that were going, you know, outside, you know, to local vets, which they are great. They are, you know, they're great about working with us, but we said, okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to give you, you know, some startup money for this, and then we're also going to commit to continuing to help with the medical care. And so they really did it knowing that we could help with it.
Well, because that reminds. Sometimes I remember on current events I've talked about events that were fundraisers, and like wasn't there one to like raise money to buy an X-ray machine or something for the.
You're right.
You know, for equipment.
Yes.
So sometimes you do fundraisers to actually buy things for that the Everett Animal Shelter clinic and what they do.
We do, and it's funny you bring up the X-ray machine because we have one now.
Because I remember that. It just popped in my mind.
Yeah. It's kind of in purgatory at the moment because, you know, the city has to get fully licensed with the Department of Health, but we actually physically have it, so which is so exciting for us. And then we also just purchased their own blood machine. They can run their own lab work, that's another huge one because, you know, it was having to be sent away, which means, you know, animals that could get care right away were having to wait for results, and so that was another thing that we did.
Well, and it's amazing that there is medical care now, or veterinary care for animals in a city-owned shelter. I mean, that was unheard of, you know, when I was young.
it, you know, and even now, like, I have people that come up to me and say, you know, this is really still unheard of. You know, I know it's becoming more common now, but as far as, you know, I mean, they have a full-time vet and a full-time vet tech.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
It's just an amazing place. And like I said, they do all their own spays and neuters.
Well, so what else does ARF do? You do fundraisers to help purchase equipment and, like, you know, the X-ray machine and the blood machine and all of that stuff for them. But does ARF do other things related to the Everett Animal Shelter?
We do. And so what we kind of do is twofold. You know, we have the medical side, and we also kind of help pay for some bigger, larger stuff as well, like if an animal needs to get sent away for a surgery, we know we can help pay for that. But what we also do is we really work hard on outreach, and we want the community to know to come up here to get their pets. You know, it kind of goes back to, you know, almost like the adopt, don't shop, you know, movement, which was, you know, visit your local shelter. You know, it's amazing what they have. And so we go out, and, you know, I was, in fact, just last weekend, we were down at Mud Bay in Bothell, and we did a cat adoption event. But, you know, we're meeting people in the public that say, oh, we didn't realize that the Everett Animal Shelter would have such great cats.
Well, that's why I thought it was appropriate to really give you guys some airtime and chat with you on a regular basis. So we do get the word out about what the great stuff that's going on up there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's, you know, and one thing that we've noticed is since we've been doing this, and we've really, you know, ramped ourselves up in the last couple of years in the outreach part. It has, I mean, the shelter can even tell, you know, people come in and they say, oh, I heard about you guys, you know, when I was at, you know, my local pet store, they were talking about coming to you guys to adopt. And we just think, oh, that is so neat. You know, that's what we want. You know, we want people to come up here and know that they can get their, you know, forever, their forever animal, whatever it is, be it cat, dog, rabbit.
So does ARF have, like, volunteers that do things at the Everett Animal Shelter?
Well, we do. And so what we do, because, you know, the Everett Animal Shelter has their own volunteer program, and they have their program, they have over 300 active volunteers.
Oh, okay.
So they do some pretty amazing things. And since we're focused more on this, you know, we have a really hard-working board of directors. They work all the time. In fact, they're all going to be here today for our class that we have coming up.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that after we take our break here.
But we also, you know, we ourselves have volunteers, too, that come in. You know, they do adoption events with us. They, you know, I have volunteers that come up and help, you know, me with kind of office-y stuff. So we do have, we do have our need for volunteers as well.
So if people want to actually get involved and volunteer at the Everett Animal Shelter, they can do that through the Everett Animal Shelter.
Correct.
But the ARF organization is more doing the fundraising and buying stuff for them and doing the outreach.
Yes. It's very community focused. You know, where a lot of people that volunteer up here, you know, they kind of like it because it can be more quiet. You know, it's, well, you know, you're around the animals. But, you know, I mean, it's more on the animal side. So what we do is more of the community outreach side. So it's definitely more of the public.
Sense. Now, do you know with the clinic now that they have at the Everett Animal Shelter, are they doing spays and neuters just for the animals that come to the shelter, or are they doing discount spay and neuters to the public, or do you know?
So what the vet clinic currently does is they do it for the animals that are up here. And like I said, they get in so many animals that, you know, I mean, they do a ton of them. You know,
right.
Not all animals come in spayed or neutered. In fact, most don't. But they do participate every year in Spay Day, which they didn't. They weren't able to this year. But
I was going to say, I didn't have anything on current events about them this year. But
no, but they usually do. And it was kind of, you know, the vet tech was out on, she was on a medical leave. And so it just kind of worked out that way for them. But they do that. But also, too, you know, we live in an area where we have so much spay and neuter resources around here that they can really focus then on
just the animals that are brought in. Oh, that makes sense. All right. Well, this is a good time to ask you to just hold on a moment while we take care of our advertisers. Without them, we can't do this kind of programming, so it really is the most important part of the show. So everybody stay right where you are. More with Amy Ferguson. And is it free class, Amy, that's coming up today? Oh. She's not there. Okay. Well, I think it's a free class. We're going to talk about that. It's coming up later this morning, and you're going to want to hear about that. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets.
Check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including T-Touch, aromatherapy, and manual ligament therapy, plus massage for canines and small and large animal certification. Visit online at nwsam.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. That's 877-836-3703. Or check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage on Facebook.
Hi, this is Eileen Grimes of the Jupiter Rising Show, and this Sunday at 2 p.m., March 6th, we will welcome Sheila Baker, the foundation of Sheila Baker Shamanic Institute of the Northwest. She will be enlightening us on the process of the shaman's journey and how it affects her perspective in life. That's the Jupiter Rising Show this Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m., right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Acutonics for Dogs and Cats and Acutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
For the people, by the people. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're on the downside of the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. In this hour, you've heard about the great NuPro supplements. Great supplements, been around for a long time. They've got a great track record and great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets. Check them out at NuPro, N-U-P-R-O, supplements.com. And my favorite odor neutralizer, Anti-Icky Poo. I can't tell you how many houses, carpets and furniture it's saved for my clients. They think they've got to get rid of them, but Anti-Icky Poo definitely gets the stink out. So check it out. You can go to MarthaNorwalk.com, and on the homepage, links will come up, will flash for our advertisers, and one says Anti-Icky Poo. You can click on that and then locate the product so you can pick it up. And check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage on Vashon Island. Beautiful campus and great classes for just us regular folks. But also, if you're wanting to become a massage therapist for animals, they've got great programs. And most of your learning can be done. They call it their distance program. And then you can get certification at one of their campuses because they've got several around the world now. And then, of course, our wonderful friends Jude and Paul Ponton, the Harmonic Energy Shifters at Whispering Dragon Center in Seattle. Remember, they've got a special deal going on this month for Animal World listeners until the spring Equinox, I think, is March 20th. You get $10 off if you're a new client, $20 off on a remote session. All you got to do is say you heard about them on Animal World, and that's www.whispering-dragon.com. All righty, then. We are going to get back to Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We're talking to the executive director of ARF, the Animal Rescue Foundation Everett, and Animal Rescue Foundation of Everett, more commonly known as ARF, and Amy Ferguson is with us. Good morning again, Amy.
Good morning.
All right. Now, you've got some kind of special educational thing going on today. I think this is the first one, isn't it?
It is. It is. And we are really excited about this.
Okay. So tell us what's the deal.
So we are having a gal come in, and she's with Positive Transformations, which is a dog behaviorist, as well as a licensed vet tech, and she's doing a free class, and it's on canine body language. And so, you know, really it's geared for anybody, but one of her, her big things with this is she wants to teach children how to approach or not approach our canine friends, because, you know, mm-hmm. so many times when children are bit, it could be preventable by just not allowing that, you know, child to go up to the dog.
Yep.
Or teaching, you know, the child, you know, what signs to look for. So it's very, and she calls it MEAT, which is, it stands for mouth, ears, eyes, tail, intention. And so it's just a way to kind of give a dog a quick body scan. So it's really exciting, and she came in and did one for us so we could kind of see what it was about.
Uh-huh.
And I've been using it when I'm at the shelter, you know, just using that little scan in my head, and I go, oh, wow. So it's very, you know, even for people that know a lot about animals, it's still neat to come in and kind of learn more and expand that knowledge base.
Well, that's excellent. Yeah, I, as an animal behavior therapist myself, you know, I deal with this all the time.
Yes.
Most of the time I get called into a case, the dog's already biting the kids and whatever, but, you know, it can all be worked out, and so much of it, you're so right, can be prevented and avoided if you just understand the body language of dogs. So this class is happening today?
It is. It's happening at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
You know, and what I would suggest is that, you know, if people want to come, they come a few minutes early so they can fill out just a quick little form, kind of giving us, you know, some information on why they're coming. So hopefully in the future we can continue to do these.
And the class is at the Everett Animal Shelter?
It is. It is. And we are, and I mentioned this earlier, but, you know, we're very far north. You know, we're almost to Marysville. It's by Dagmar's. And I can give you the address, too, if you'd like.
Yeah, I think we better do that. So because if there are folks thinking, oh, you know, we could jump in our car and be listening to Animal
yeah.
World on
yeah.
the way up to this. Because the class is free to the general public? Is
it
that
is
right?
Totally 100% free.
All right.
We're
all
very
right.
excited about that part of it, too.
And from 11 a.m. to noon, is that right?
Yeah, and what we'll do at noon is we'll also have a little bit of question time. So people have some specific questions about, you know, their dog or situations they've encountered. You know, Jennifer has, you know, graciously offered to stay in and answer those for a half an hour or so.
Ah, excellent. Excellent. That's great. So it's at the Everett Animal Shelter. And what is the address?
So it's 333 Smith Island Road.
333 Smith Island Road.
And it's, you know, Everett, 98201.
98201. So 333 Smith Island Road, Everett, 98201.
Correct.
And any place else that if people, is there a phone number people could call for last minute information or a website to check out or?
Yeah, what I would do is I would suggest they go to our website, which is EverettArf, you know, ARF.org. And we do
EverettArf, ARF.org.
Correct. Okay. And we have, you know, and we have our, you know, our kind of our information sheet on the class and what it's about.
Excellent, excellent. So that is today. Now, the gal you've got, Jennifer is her name, and she's actually a canine behavior therapist and a vet tech.
She is, which is kind of, it's a neat combination, especially to be up here at a shelter.
Well, I know, because that you know. I am too. Of course, but I'm an animal behavior therapist and trainer, but spent 20 years as a vet tech. Actually, I was the first graduate vet tech in this state.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's
so
pretty cool.
Now you know how old I am. No, well, you know, close. Anyway, so I do agree that it's an excellent combination. The 20 years I spent working in veterinary medicine helped me tremendously in terms of understanding animals and why they do what they do and learning to deal with a lot of different behavior stuff.
And that's really why she's doing this. You know, just as you pointed out, you know, it's just a neat combination to be able to really say, you know, this is how we can prevent this, and this is how we can.
Right. So where she's the today's so this is probably just the first of more educational programs you guys intend to do, right?
It is. We're definitely, like I said, you know, since it's our first one, you know, we're kind of testing the waters out to see how well people like it, and how much interest we have in it. But you know, provided we can get enough people up here, and you know, we can hopefully even for us, being a nonprofit, we exist on donations, so it's one of those things that the more people we can get, the more we can turn out and say, this is how great this was. Let's go out and find funding to do even more of these.
So the topic today is dog body language.
It is, and so she does, she does this whole presentation where she goes through and she, I using the meat example, the M-E-E-T-T, and she goes through and kind of, shows what every single one of those mean for a dog. What's it, when the tail's down, when the tail's up, when it's wagging sideways or when it's wagging like a propeller, those kind of things. So it's
excellent.
Very focused on that part of it.
Excellent. So, and adults and children are invited?
They are. Anybody can come on up here. The
okay.
one thing that we would suggest is you not bring your own dog.
Yeah, don't bring your dogs. Dogs not invited.
No,
but humans, adult or children, are invited to this 1 hour free presentation. It's
yes.
at the Everett Animal Shelter today, beginning at 11 a.m. They'd like you to get there a little earlier if you can. 11 a.m. to noon, and Jennifer's agreed to stay after and answer some questions. And Jennifer, she might be a good guest here on Animal World on one of our shelter rescue shows, and maybe if she feels she could describe, the body language and stuff on the air, would be fun to do.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Tell her to be in touch with me. Anyway,
okay.
So today, this body language free seminar and with Jennifer is at the Everett Animal Shelter. The address is 333 Smith Island Road, and that's Everett 98201. You can get more information at everettarf.org. And then just briefly before we have to wrap up, Amy, you've got an annual, it's the third annual ARF fundraiser called the Golden Paw Gala. Golden
yes.
Paw Gala. It's going to be, what, on Saturday, May 21st.
Yes, and we host it at the Everett Golf and Country Club.
Ah,
so it's a
okay.
gorgeous venue. This year we're having an on-stage magician. Last
Ooh.
Year we had a hypnotist, so a stage hypnotist. This year it's a magician. So we we do dinner, we do entertainment, we have a silent auction, we have a dessert dash. It's just a very it's a very engaging, fun event, and everybody that comes there is just, it's our third annual one, and we started out doing them here at the Everett Animal Shelter, and it moved over to a much bigger venue.
Excellent. Excellent.
So, yeah.
So tickets are now on sale, and do we get tickets, through the everettarf.org?
Correct.
Or can you get tickets at the shelter, or what?
Well, they can, you can get them through the website, and they can also we have our own, ARF hotline they can call.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's that?
So that is 425.
425-257-6273. So the ARF hotline is 425-257-6273.
Correct.
Excellent, excellent. Well, it's been a pleasure getting to know you, Amy, and hearing about ARF. And if we got people out there that want to donate to the cause or become part of the Animal Rescue Foundation of Everett, best thing for them to do, go to the website, everettarf.org.
Yes, and there we even have, we have a donate button up on top of the screen, and we also have a volunteer button. We have a volunteer class coming up on March 22nd. So we are, we do an orientation and talk more about ARF and what we do and what our needs are. So if anybody's interested, they can get that information.
Oh, excellent. That would be good. Bev, I know Bev is listening, but if you can email me the details on
yes.
the volunteer educational thing, I can get that up on current events. I've got the gala up, and I can get that up as well.
Yeah, definitely. We can do that.
All right. Well, Amy Ferguson, Executive Director of the Animal Rescue Foundation of Everett, has been our guest for this last half hour. And if you want to join them, they're up at the Everett Animal Shelter today from 11 to noon for the free body language seminar. And you can check it out and join them, everettarf.org. And the address of the Everett Animal Shelter, once again, is 333 Smith Island Road, Everett, Washington, 98201. Amy, thanks so much for your time, and I'll look forward to speaking to you on the air again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. That's going to wrap up hour number one. We're going to fire up hour number two, and then we're going to get on to Tom Murdoch and the Northwest Stream Center in the Everett Mill Creek area. Can't wait to tell you. Kathy and I had a grand time up there. This is going to be a fun time. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.